right, thank you very much. Hey, let's take our Bibles, be seated. Let's take our Bibles, let's be seated. Thank you, all right. Appreciate that, thank you. Hey, let's take our Bibles and let's be seated. Turn to the book of Jonah, Jonah. The book of Jonah. All right, good job. Appreciate that. Very good. Are you there in the book of Jonah? Say amen. Nobody's there. Let's turn to the book of Jonah. Book of Jonah. Hey. It's good to be back, isn't it? It's good to be back. Hey, I taught him that one. That's good. All right, Jonah chapter number one. We're going to can we have some fun today? Can we do that? Have a little bit of fun? Are we going to act like junior hires when I try to get serious? Are we going to be able to bring it back? All right, we do have some visitors. So visitors, we are refined here at Hiles Henderson College. And no, we're not. Jonah, let's do it. Let's read the book of Jonah, the whole thing. For some of you, it'll be the first time. No, but we're in Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to bring a thought that is different, no doubt about it. It's a little bit different. Matter of fact, it makes me nervous. I don't want to preach heresy, and I've never really heard this preached before. But the Lord gave it to me while I was sitting on the platform. No, I'm just kidding. But I heard one preacher say, he said, if you only use one resource, that's plagiarism, all right? But if you use three or more, then that's just research. And so I only have one resource on this, but it's myself, so it's not plagiarism. We're going to be in Jonah chapter number one. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I do pray that you would help us. Lord, there's no way in the next 30 minutes that a sinful man can accomplish the work of God without the help of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I need that today. I need that. This message is for somebody. It's not an accident that I'm preaching it today. Lord, it's not a coincidence. It's been on my heart for some weeks. So God, I pray that you would help us to pay attention. Lord, to open our hearts. I pray that you would open our eyes to your word. And God, the truth of the message today could change a life and could salvage a ministry. And I pray that would happen. There's no way to know all the work that's done. It's eternal work, spiritual work. But heaven will show us. And God, I pray that you'd have some glory from this chapel message and the response of the students in the next 30 minutes that we dedicate to preaching your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We all know the story of Jonah. You're in Bible college. You've heard it probably from a child. You've heard the story of Jonah. Maybe one of the first stories that you remember hearing, the story of Jonah and the whale. That's what you think about. I was reading an article or came across some news this week about a man who was in a, he got swallowed by a whale or caught up in a whale's mouth, and he was there for 30 seconds or so, and he said it was terrifying, it was a nightmare, and an experience he hopes to never repeat, and I would agree with him. Well, Jonah wasn't in that whale for just 30 seconds, it was 3 days and nights, and you know the story. I don't want to really get into the details of it, but let's look at verse number one. I'm going to make some observations from the first chapter, then some practical applications. We're going to pray that God uses it. Verse number one, the Bible says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. Cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. A couple of things we could point out in this very first verse. One of the things I want to point out is this. The command to Jonah was clear. It was a clear command. Jonah knew what was right, what was wrong. There was no gray area. God had clearly told him what the command was. It was arise, go to Nineveh, cry against it, because their wickedness is come up before me. And by the way, young people, the truth of the matter is, and I mean this, we could probably stop chapel right now. You know what God wants you to do. You know what he wants. The commands of God are clear. Truth of the matter is, we don't need somebody to stand up and read a list of rules about what we should watch or shouldn't watch and what we should be doing, shouldn't be doing on our devices. And young people, listen to me. The commands of God are clear. They're clear. You know, I'm convinced, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, you know what's right. You know what's right. You have a Bible, you have preaching, many of you have had a good upbringing, and you have the Holy Ghost inside of you if you're saved. You know what's right. The command of God is clear. Secondly, I want to say this. Nineveh's time came up. Well, they had lived in wickedness. They had lived in wickedness for a long time, probably with no thought of God. But the day came where God decided, it's time for Nineveh. It's time. I don't know what pushed them over the edge. Look, that's God's business. But what I know is they were living in wickedness for a long time, and finally the day came where he said, we're done. Nineveh will now choose. And young people, let me just stop and say, probably the most dangerous thing that could ever happen to you is for you to get by with your sin. Probably the most dangerous thing is for you to be breaking the clear commands of God, to live like that, to know it, to not feel the repercussions, to never get caught, and to keep on living in sin. That's a dangerous thing, because I'm telling you, the day always comes up where God says, that's enough. So the commands of God were clear. Jonah knew what to do. Nineveh's time was up, but you know the story. Let's keep on reading. Look in verse number 3. The Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. I teach in my New Testament class. Jonah wasn't running from a place. He was running from a person. He wasn't running from Nineveh. Nineveh really played such a small part. I've read commentators. I've studied this story many times. It may be my most favorite story to preach from. And everybody tries to figure out, why was Jonah running from Nineveh? What was it about Nineveh? I want to bring this to you. It wasn't a place. It was a person. He wasn't running from Nineveh. He was running from the Lord. He was running from God, so Nineveh could be anything in our lives. Whatever it is that causes us to run from God. Jonah was running from God. He rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare thereof. He went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So you know the story. You understand it very clear. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah decided to run from God, and he finds a boat, and he takes it. In his mind, he's going to Tarshish. Very interesting little factoid here. That is as far as you could get from Nineveh by boat in the known world. Jonah wasn't just running from God. Jonah decided, not only am I going to run from God, I'm going to run as far from God as I could possibly get. Have you ever met somebody like that? Have you ever met somebody who just decided, maybe even right here in Bible college, not only am I not going to do what's right, I'm going to get as far from what's right as I can possibly get? That was Jonah's heart. That's where Jonah was at, running from the presence of God. So here's what we need. We need a Jonah. I need a Jonah. We're going to have some fun today, all right? Johnny, come on up, Johnny. You're Jonah, brother. Come on, brother. Jonah Pankratz. Here he is, all right? Jonah Pankratz. This has all been prearranged, but Jonah Pankratz. Jonah, look, we know the story. We know the story. You got it, right? We'll use Adam in a moment. So we know the story, all right? I got something special for him. He's the whale. No, but here we go. Jonah, Jonah Pankratz. Jonah, that's Nineveh, Jonah. That's Nineveh. You see it? You see Nineveh? That's the will of God. The command is clear. That's where I want you to go. I want you to go preach to the wickedness over here. And that is Nineveh. So Jonah runs from God. So Jonah, show us. Go ahead and illustrate it. Oh, good. Good. Look at him. Look at him. Man, he's running. Hey, Jonah, you got to come back. my hand. But look, I need a boat. I need a boat. So let's get the boat going here. So Jonah ran. What is this? Is this a mustache? What in the world? All right, so Jonah runs from God. And most of the time, I say most of the time, I've preached a sermon twice now. I've seen people run from God like this. But he didn't. He was legit. He ran from God. And he used a boat. So Jonah hop in that boat. Here we go. You're in the middle, Jonah. Now, there's some things going on, right? We know some things about Jonah and his running from God. Okay? So first of all, he's there in the boat, and we have to have a captain of the boat. We have to have a captain of the boat. Brother Douglas, you're the captain of the ship. Let's go. Let's sit you right up front. Good. Yeah. But right up front, captain. And then we need an anchor. We need another mariner. Brother King, come on. You're the anchor of the boat, okay? Kind of a pathetic anchor, isn't he? But go ahead, sit there. You're the anchor of the boat. That ship's going to sink, brother. But here we go. So we got Jonah. Jonah's running from God. He's running, let's stay with me, he's running as fast as he could run from the known will of God, going as far as he could go. He has boarded this boat. The Bible says there are mariners on the boat. We have a captain. We have an anchor and whatever he would be called, a sailor. And we have Jonah in the boat. And God sends something. Somebody raise your hand. Tell me, what does God send? Yes. He sends a storm. My. So when I think of a storm, I think of rain. I need a young lady with no pride that can be rain. Let me get a young lady that can be rain. Julie Ramp, come on up here, Julie. Let's go, Julie. All right, she is rain. And then not only is there rain on this boat. Now, Julie, come on up. Hustle up. Show me rain, Julie. What is rain? Can you show me rain? Show it to us. Show us. What's? Give me some rain. Like, make it rain. Airhead rain. I don't know. Rain is water that falls from the sky. It might even go like this. And, come on. Let's stand over here, Julie. And you're gonna be rain. All right. You're raining. And you want to know what else is in a storm? We need wind. We need wind. So I need a loudmouth guy. Let me get some wind. Let's go. Who do you got? Who do you got, brother? Who do you want? Adam's going to be something else. Adam's going to be... Jared, come on up here and run. Jared, come on. Jared, run. Adam, you come on up here too. Run. All right, so we have... There we go. This is perfect. All right. Very good. On assignment. Have a seat. You'll never sit there again. All right, so here we go. You are wind, okay? You are wind. And wind is just, you know, it's just... Pardon my coffee breath, but it's just... That's wind. So give us some wind. Now you're making it rain. You make it rain. Now you got to move around. The rain is all, you make it wind. All right. And then we have thunder. There's thunder in every storm. Let me see a boom. Give me a boom.
Boom.
Yes. All right. So when I say go, I want to see a storm. All right. When I say go, I want some rain. I want some wind, and I want some thunder, and I want to see this thing happen, all right? Here we go. Ready, go. All right, that's a storm. All right, freeze. Let's be careful now. Let's be careful. All right, Hiles Anderson. Visitors, welcome to chapel. All right, but there's an issue. Jonah, you're asleep. Now, we're not going to throw you out of the boat just yet, all right? But you're asleep, so you've got to be asleep. Fall asleep. Listen to this. The Bible says this. The Bible says, look at verse number 4. Just look at it. The Bible says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Now watch this, young people. Watch this. Stay with me. We'll get back to you in a moment. This is fun. This is good. It's a good time. It's the chapel after spring break, and we're having a good time. But hear this, and don't miss it. This was no joke for Jonah. This was a ship. This was a storm. The Bible says that the storm was such that the ship was about to be broken. This was the real deal happening as Jonah ran from God. Not only does the Bible say that, but the Bible says in verse number 5, the Bible says, then the mariners were afraid. So captain of the boat, you're afraid. Anchor of the boat, you're afraid. I don't know what fear looks like. Did you see that? I like that. Fear. You can tell the difference in personalities. Me, him. That's why he's the president of the college, and I'm not, all right? But fear. So when this storm gets rolling, all right? Now, don't throw him out of the boat, whoever did that. You got to be asleep. When this storm gets rolling, I want to see some wind, some rain. I want to see you asleep. I want to see some, hear some thunder, and you guys are afraid. Scared to death. Go. All right, good. All right, freeze. Brother Douglas is going to wake up in the middle of the morning tomorrow with Adam Hanks. All right, here we go. Let's look at what happens. You guys stay here for a moment. Look at what happens. Verse number 5, keep your Bibles open. We're not shutting the Word of God. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says this. The Bible says, then the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man unto his own God, and they cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it to them. But Jonah was gone down in the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Something very interesting from this portion of the story that I just saw a few weeks ago in the Word of God. The mariners, all of a sudden, in the middle of the storm, the mariners became religious. I mean, in the middle of the storm, they start crying every man to his own God. They weren't even serving God, didn't even know who God was, but they decided to pull their God out of their back pocket, and man, now it's time to, man, we're in trouble, and there's a storm, and Jonah's asleep, but everything else is going crazy, and it's time to call on God. Young people, here's the thought that maybe you can think about. The time to get religious is before the storm, not after the storm, not during the storm. You know, if you're having life pretty much easy right now, and your bills are paid, and life is good, and your relationships are fine, and your grades are good, don't abandon God. The time to get religious is right now, not in the middle of the storm, not when things start collapsing, not in the rain and the wind and the thunder. That's not the time to pull out the Bible. That's not the time to find a prayer closet. The time for that is before the storm. So we have all of this happening, And they're scared to death. They have a conversation. They have a conversation. The captain and the anchor, the sailor, they have a conversation. And the conversation is basically this: what are we going to do? They're throwing stuff overboard. They're lightening the load of the boat. And they think to themselves, what are we going to do? And for lack of time, I want you to see something here. Look, if you would, in verse number, they figure out it's Jonah, and I want you to look in verse number 11. The Bible says, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea was raw and was tempestuous. Look at verse 12. This right here is probably the only noble thing Jonah did in chapter 1. Look at it. Verse number 12, the Bible says, and he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Again, we're not even preaching yet, but I want you to see something there. Well, here's what I respect about Jonah. I respect the fact that in the middle of the mess, Jonah said, you know what? This is my fault. This is my fault. You can write a little note there. You can put in your Bible, personal responsibility. You can put whatever you want there. But I love the fact that Jonah owned it. Jonah ran from God. He knew what God wanted. And he ran as far as he could run, finds himself in a boat. God sends a storm. And when it's all coming to pass, Jonah says, this is my fault. This isn't the college's fault. This isn't my parents' fault. This isn't, you know, I wasn't, it's not some leader that let me down. It's not I had a bad roommate. It's not whatever. Look, this is my fault. I've run from God. I'm in the mess that I'm in. By the way, Jonah knew enough to avoid this whole situation. And if you're sitting here in chapel right now, you may not have the best circumstances of life. You may not have the best upbringing. You may have some leaders that let you down someday, but you know enough right now to avoid a storm. You know enough to never run from God, young people. Never run from God. And if you do run from God, don't blame everybody else. God, deliver us from a generation of people who just want to blame their problems. Man, it's Trump's fault. It's everybody's fault. Hey, no, what? It's me, oh Lord. It's me. And maybe the first step to getting right with God is you saying, this is my fault. This is my fault. I'm in the position I'm in because I've run from the Lord. My heart hasn't been right. So we see these things happening in the life of Jonah. He said, take me up, cast me forth into the sea. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard. Now we're getting down to the crux of the message. We're going to act it out one more time for fun. But here's the crux of the message. Why am I doing that? here's the crux of the message. The crux of the message is this. They knew what the problem was. The problem's right there. The problem's Jonah, and they knew it. They knew it. But they refused to deal with the problem. The Bible says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard. And put yourself there for a moment. We have the benefit of hindsight, looking back at the story, in the middle of this mess, to throw somebody overboard was to kill them. That's what it was. We know the story. We know the second Jonah's pinky toe, this is in the Greek, hits the water. The second it hits the water, whew, peace be still. We know that. The mariners row off and they live their lives and they worship God and God deals with Jonah with the whale. We know the story, but they don't know the story. This is unfolding right in front of them. And so they're there and the ship is rocking back and forth. It's creaking. It's about to break. There's rain and there's wind and there's thunder. And Jonah is saying, this is all my fault. Throw me overboard. And the Bible says in verse number 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard. They said, no, we're not going to kill Jonah. We're not going to drown Jonah. We're just going to try harder. So here we go, one last time for fun. Men, get your oars out, all right? You're gonna row as hard as you can, and the ship is gonna almost break, and he's on a speedboat. And then there's a storm, and here we go, let's go. One, two, three, go! Row, you gotta row. All right, freeze. You guys can go back to your spots. Give him a hand. Julie, that was pathetic rain, Julie. The worst rain, I just... young people, here's the thought. I got 10 minutes or so to preach it. Here it is. Watch this. What would have happened if they never would have thrown Jonah out of the boat? They didn't want to. Look at verse 12 again. Jonah says, throw me into the sea, cast me forth into the sea. In verse number 13, these men say, nevertheless, they rowed hard to bring it to land. They didn't want to commit murder. They didn't want to drown this visitor on the boat. Look, they weren't interested in that. They would have rather kept Jonah right there in the boat. But here's the problem. Here's what would have happened. That storm would not have relented. God would not have given up on his pursuit of Jonah. That ship would have broken, my friend. Just like the Bible says in verse number 4, the ship was like to be broken. Well, if they would have kept on rowing hard, if they would have kept on trying, that ship would have broken. And those mariners wouldn't have rowed off to safety so God could deal with Jonah. I'm telling you, they would have plunged themselves in the midst of that water, in the midst of that raging sea. And who knows what would have happened? We don't know. Maybe God would have stilled the storm, maybe not, but they would have been without a boat. Maybe God would have sent a whale to swallow them all up. Maybe they would have just drowned and been collateral damage so God could deal with Jonah. I don't know what would have happened. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, verse 13, the sea was wroth, was tempestuous against them. Verse 14, wherefore they cried unto the Lord. They said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, has done as it pleased." So they took up Jonah and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Finally, after these men had rowed hard long enough, they had rowed, they couldn't bring it to land. Finally, they say, "Hey, look, we're just going to go ahead and do it. God, if he's innocent, don't lay this sin against our charge, but we're going to take our last resort here." And so they pick up Jonah. I can see it in my mind's eye. They pick him up. I think when they get ready to toss him overboard, maybe Jonah started to squirm a little bit and squirm. Maybe he had second thoughts. I don't know. But they toss him into the sea. And in throwing their Jonah out of the boat, they save their lives. Everybody has a Jonah in the boat. Everybody. Everybody in this room has a Jonah in the boat. Let me tell you, when we pick these Jonahs up, we pick these Jonahs up when we're running from God. We pick these Jonahs up on our spring breaks and summer breaks and on our extended passes after work. And we pick these Jonahs up, and all of us have a Jonah in the boat. And Hiles Anderson, if you don't violently throw Jonah out of the boat, if you don't decide today in chapel to drown Jonah, I'm telling you, Jonah just might drown you. These Jonahs that we pick up. I remember a young man, and I'll call his name Tommy. It wasn't his name. Some of you would know him. Tommy was a Hiles Anderson College student, had was called to preach. Tommy was a good young man, had made decisions, had made decisions for the Lord. Came his freshman year, out backslidden. They tell me Bible college is one of the easiest places in the world to backslide. You live off of sermons. There's no quiet time with the Lord. You can't live like that. You can't live like that. But Tommy was living like that. Came home for Christmas break. We knew something was wrong. We could tell, by the way, we could tell. Look on his face. Not the same boy that left to go to Bible college. You know, young people, there are some people that really do care about you. They really do love you. They might even be praying for you right now. They don't know what the Jonah is. They don't know what the problem is, but they have enough discernment and enough love in their heart to be able to look in your eyes and tell, that's not the same boy, that's not the same young lady that got right with God at camp and gave it all to Christ. There's something there. And that was Tommy. He went back Christmas break. He went back to college. I don't know how he came back, but he came back. And he struggled for a few months, came back home in springtime. Went home for spring break. When we came home, we just knew. It was obvious this boy's backslidden. He left and made it through the next 50 days. Came home, and the first week he was home, me and the preacher had an appointment with him, sat him down. Said, "Man, what's going on? Tommy, what's the problem?" Tommy broke right there. He began to tell us how he had run from God. See, his parents bought him a phone for graduation. And for the first time in his life, he had the world at his fingertips. And so he started looking at things, and he started watching things, and he started listening to things that he was keeping hidden. And just one big cycle of sin. Just one big cycle of running from God. Knowing where you should be, knowing how you should live, and running as far as you can from God. That was Tommy. Hiding it, covering it up. He said this was the problem. And then listen to this. This is how much the devil hates you. This is what the devil does. On his way home from summer break, he met a lady in the Columbus airport. Lost. See, the Bible says, watch this, Jonah. As you run from God, the Bible says Satan lays a snare. He just lays it there, and he just sits back, and he waits for you to stumble right into it, to run right into it. And that's the reality, friend. Satan had laid a snare. Of all the people going through Midway Airport that day, of all the people, the thousands of people in all the gates and all the people around, he happened to meet a lady, and they happened to strike up a conversation. And guess where she just happened to live? 25 minutes from home. What a coincidence. So now he's coming home from the summer, and he's making plans to visit this lost lady. He's making plans to wreck his life and to lose his testimony. Are you hearing me? He was just like you. sitting in the pew, sitting in the chairs at Hiles Anderson, wanting to serve God. But he had a Jonah in the boat. And chapel message after chapel message, he didn't violently throw Jonah overboard. He didn't repent. He didn't come to an altar and say, I've had enough. No, he did what most of you have done. I'm just going to row a little bit harder. I'm just going to do a little bit better. I'm going to keep this Jonah in the boat, and maybe it won't catch up to me. But sin always finds its man, young person. Always. We sat there. Pastor Lamb looked at him and said this, Tommy, just give me the phone. Just give me the phone. Such a simple solution. Just give me the phone. He said, do you have this girl's number memorized? No, it's in my phone. Does she have your number? No. So this music is on your phone? Yeah. These other things are on your phone? Yeah. He said, I'll tell you what, Tommy. I'll give you a job here at the church as an intern. You can mow the grass, you can go soul winning, you can clean the buildings. We'll get you turned around straight, Tommy. Just give me the phone. You won't even be able to contact her. You don't know where she lives. I'll pay your bill and I'll give you a job. You can have a fresh start. You better thank God for a pastor that loves you. I'm serious. You better thank God for a pastor that loves you. If you have a pastor back home that would do anything to see you make it, you ought to thank God. You ought to be an encouragement. You ought to write a note and say, I just got home from spring break, but I still love you. I miss you. I miss your preaching. You ought to send it off if you have a man of God like that. He said, just give me the phone. And I watched, college student, I watched the physical struggle. As he went, and I'm not dramatic enough to even act it out. As he went to go hand the phone over and pulled it back. He went to go hand it over and he pulled it back. And one last time, he went to go hand it over and he pulled it back. And he came up with some lame excuse to keep his Jonah. And he walked out of that office. Every promise in the world, he's going to do better, try harder. In a short time, finish the story. Tommy's never preached behind a pulpit. He's not even in church. Refused to get rid of his Jonah. Just refused to get violent with the Jonah in the boat. I have 4 minutes. Let me throw some Jonahs out there. How about the Jonah of rebellious friends? Huh? Huh? Man, they sit here, right here amongst you, laugh at every rule and mock and think it's all a joke. And you're right next to them. And inside of your heart, Jonah, there's something that is God called. Inside of your heart, there's something that would like to see a revival someday. But while you were running from God, you picked up some rebellious friends. Amnon knew what it was to have a rebellious friend and to just try and to just play that mental game back and forth. I'm not going to do it. I am going to do it. I'm not going to do it. He should have thrown Jonadab out of the boat. And I'm telling you right now, if you don't get rid of your rebellious friends, and I'm talking about, look, brother, I don't think you need to be ugly. I don't think you need to, you know, preach a sermon to them. But if you got a rebellious friend keeping you from doing the will of God, either in this college or back home, you need to get violent with yourself and say, here's the deal. I am getting rid of this relationship because if I don't drown Jonah, Jonah's going to drown me. Why don't you just wake up and realize the Jonah of rebellious friends. How about the Jonah of lust? Hey, when are we going to deal with the Jonah of lust? You think you can live with that? Huh? How many more examples do you need? You think you could just keep it and just kind of row hard and it's all going to go away when you graduate or when you get married? Huh? You laugh at things like, you know, the no-touch rule, the 6-inch rule. Don't need that. Hey, you better throw that Jonah out of the boat. You better drown that Jonah. That Jonah's going to drown you. It's often, isn't it, Brother Douglas? Often we see the Jonah of lust. Just a little Jonah. Probably picked up on a spring break. And it stayed in the boat. And it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, till one day that boat broke. You better drown. Look, you do what you have to do. I remember going to camp last summer. Man, this is one of my favorite stories to tell. Going to camp last summer, and a young man came to me before we even went, before we even left for camp. He so wanted to be right with God. Came to me with a bag. Inside the bag was a smashed up phone. He said, I don't need to go to camp to know what I need to do. Here, take it. Friends probably thought he was crazy. Parents probably thought he was extreme. Let me tell you what happened. God worked on his heart at that camp that summer. And that young man is serving the Lord today. And I'm proud of him and I love him. And good for you for just throwing the Jonah out of your boat. Good for you. The Jonah of lust, the Jonah of rebellious friends, the Jonah of, how about this one, the Jonah of dishonesty. That's something that starts small, doesn't it? Just a little lie on an activity port, just a little falsehood, just lie about it, just cover it up. We'll just be dishonest. Hey, God sees everything, friend. God sees, and let me just say something. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care if you're royalty in this church, and I'm not preaching against anybody. I'm simply saying that's only going to take you so far. God sees everything. You can sit there, you put up the show, you can sit there and you know, oh, I'm all good. But if you're being deceptive, if you're dishonest, that's a sin that'll only grow. You'll cheat in school, you'll cheat at work, you'll cheat on your home. That Jonah of deception, that's a Jonah that'll sink your boat. The Jonah of dishonesty, the Jonah of bitterness. Rebellion, look, I can go on and on, friend, but here's the truth of the message. You find yourself in the midst of a storm, and it's not fun like it was up here this morning. We don't take out pictures and, you know, phones and take pictures and laugh, and I'm glad that you did. I wanted you to. But let's be real for a moment. What Jonah's in your boat? What little Jonah have you picked up along the way? And look here. I've had to throw some Jonahs out of the boat. Any preacher that's honest, been Jonah's in my boat. You want to know why I'm standing here today? And why, Lord willing, by the grace of God, if I keep myself right and humble, well, I'll be standing here in 10 years. You want to know why? Because I learned a long time ago, man, when those things get in the boat, drown them. Get violent with them. Even when they start to squirm and they don't want to let go, you throw them out of the boat. And live for God. There's a list of other things that I probably could have named and didn't, but I don't need to. You know what they are. Everybody has a Jonah in the boat. Everybody. You drown Jonah, Jonah will drown you. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed.